Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is December 22nd, 2016. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. Please speak slowly if you have to leave a message or phone number. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news of Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. prophecyhour.com. Remember, prayer requests can be sent by United States Postal Service and email with your return address and your phone number to call you back. These requests will be taken to Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you at your request with no solicitations or donations. As my wife says, unless you tell us to, we will just simply lose your address. Anyway, we have a prayer request form on the right-hand side of the Prophecy Hour and MessiahsBranch.com pages, so have a look. We are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's also on YouTube live right now and on some FM stations. Of course, it goes to podcast later, so but pray about supporting radio airtime. On another note, I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Paris, France, Dubai, United Arab Emirates, Madagascar, South Korea, Toronto, Canada, Hamilton, Canada, Moscow, Russia, and of course cities in the good old USA such as St. Louis, Missouri, Sacramento, California, Colorado Springs, Colorado, Washington, D.C., Portland, Oregon, Detroit, Michigan, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcast later on tonight at branch.podomatic.com. Anyway, now prayer, we'll bring on tonight's guest, and we've got a really good program for you. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio or not goes according to your will and not my will or guest's will. And Father, you get out the information that you need to be out, Father, and not us. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, tonight is a special program. I'm sure this audience has heard about the cold case posse that was appointed by Sheriff Joe, by Sheriff Joe of Maricopa County, Arizona. Sheriff Joe Arpaio was to investigate the allegations brought to his attention that President Obama's identity documents were forged. Last week, Dr. Corsi and I touched on this subject as he left early to get ready to hear the final press release given by Sheriff Joe Arpaio concerning the results of the special investigation. Tonight, we have on with us the commander of the Sheriff's Cold Case Posse, the chief investigator, Michael Zullo. We also have on us, with us, you guys know him real well, is Pastor Carl Gallups. He is one of our regular guests on this program, and Pastor Carl is a best-selling author, senior pastor since 1987, talk radio host for his nationally, internationally, he's all over the place, TV, radio guest commentator, former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network. He's also a member of the Board of Regents of the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl's written five books now, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, Messiah, the magic man in the sky, be thou prepared, and when the lion roars. Did I get all five of them? Oh, well. Anyway, I asked Carl to come on and help with this interview of Lieutenant Zulo, as he's more familiar with him in this case. So I brought him on to make sure that I didn't miss anything or mess it up. And I'm sure Carl will probably laugh at him and appreciate that. Anyway, welcome now, Pastor Carl and Lieutenant Zulo. Welcome, fellas.
Thank you so much. This is Carl. Thanks for having me on. And hello, Mike.
Hi, guys. How are you? I appreciate the time.
I'm really excited to have both of you on. Of course, Carl, you know, I brought you on because you're really familiar with this and you've already did a really good case. So I'm going to kind of implore on you to help me do this interview, if you don't mind, so that we get what's important is to get this out for the people. Back to you, Carl.
Well, I will provide a little color commentary, but as you know, and as you will soon find out, Lieutenant Mike Zulo is tremendous at explaining this, and of course he's the one that really, really did the lion's share of all of this investigation. And when I say that, I didn't do any of it. I'm just saying he's the one through the sheriff's office, and he and Sheriff Arpaio initiated this and assigned Mike Zulo to head it up. So Mike has done tons of interviews, and he's got the scoop. I'm just so glad able to get him on tonight, Pastor Dan, and thanks for having us. This is such an important thing. It goes right to national security in so many ways. It goes to our future. It goes to perhaps the biggest criminal fraud committed against our nation in the history of our nation. And I think your audience is going to be in for a shock if they don't already know this stuff.
Well, amen. So, well, Lieutenant Zulo, I guess here's the first big question. Was so many people say, well, they were trying to investigate to see if Obama was a natural-born citizen. That wasn't really the object of the investigation, was it?
No, as a matter of fact, it was never the focus of the investigation. The investigation focused on the response of citizens in Maricopa County, 250 that petitioned Sheriff Arpaio, requesting an investigation into the birth certificate that was released by the White House back in, I believe it was August of 2011. In releasing that document, people began to suspect that there was something wrong with it. The document was a PDF file. It's not even a hard copy document. It was released via the internet, and within 30 minutes of that document being released, approximately 150,000 people downloaded that PDF file, a computer-generated file, and almost immediately graphic designers began to question the authenticity of that particular document. Residents of Maricopa County were concerned. They had nowhere to turn. They were getting no cooperation from anyone in Congress when they would ask these questions. And they went to Sheriff Arpaio and asked him if he would take a look at it. And that's exactly what he did. He began to look into it. I can tell your audience that my mandate from Sheriff Arpaio from the very beginning was when he called me and asked me if I would look at it, he said directly to me, he goes, Mike, I want you to take this. I want you to clear this document. I don't think there's anything here. I want to be the one to clear the president and move the country forward. This is no good. Within 24 hours of looking at it, it was determined that there were some problems with the document, and that determination propelled us into a five-year-long investigation that concluded last week, last Thursday, I believe.
Yeah, amen. Like I said, last week I was talking with, I was interviewing Jerome Kersey on his new book, Good Night Obama, which is really pretty funny, but he had to leave early because he was getting ready for the release that you folks did last week. I think it was at the top of the hour. I think it was at 6 p.m. Central, and which I did catch. Really fascinated. Take us into that. Take us into what your findings is to the most important part for the people.
Well, the most important part. Go ahead, Carl. Why don't you give them the overview? You're a lot better at that than I am.
Well, thanks, Mike. Yeah, Pastor Dan, I will give a 2-minute overview, and then of course Mike can answer all the detailed questions and give you much more detailed information. Okay. But the synopsis is this: through this investigation, the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office and Mike Zulo, Cold Case Posse, and all the investigation they've done for years, but through this, they now know that the document is a fabricated forgery. They now know how it was done. They also have the source document from which it was fabricated, at least one of the source documents. More than likely there was more than one source, but they now have one of the source documents, and they know who that source document belongs to. It belongs to a woman by the name of Johanna Ani, and it is a Hawaii birth certificate. And what they know and what they have proven, which is backed up by two forensics entities, one in Europe, one in the United States, both of them are trained law enforcement, both of them are professionals in their field, both of them are expert witnesses, both of them are renowned and have years of experience. They have both signed off on these findings that the document is a complete fabrication and forgery. And what they know, that there are nine points of forgery, elements of the Johanna Ani birth certificate document that were lifted off of her document and digitally cut and pasted onto the Obama document, which was some kind of a template. And Mike can talk to you more about all of that. But it was, those elements were lifted over and moved over onto this created fabrication. And that's amazing, Pastor Dan, because in the press conference that we held, they have a video where you can actually see it. And, of course, we've got that video all produced. You can go to carlgallis.com and click on the yellow link, and it takes you to a one-page archive of everything we're saying tonight. You can see the entire one-hour press conference. You can get a little three-minute synopsis video. You can see the digital evidence that we're talking about, but you can actually see the lifting over process. And the thing about it, Pastor Dan, that's just so astounding, is there was a group of words and letters and X that was lifted from the Ani document, and it was taken, those elements were taken as a group. They were mathematically juxtaposed. They were mathematically relational to each other. Wherever you put them on any document, they would stay in the same relation, and they were inserted onto the Obama document. Those same words and elements have the very same mathematical relation as the Ani document, which is a statistical impossibility. But what's even more fascinating is that one of the elements, which one of the document examiners put in writing that this was the, quote, nail in the coffin, was an X that was transferred from the Ani document to the Obama template. Now, your listeners might say, well, what's so big deal about an X being moved over? I mean, that could have just been a typewriter just making an X, the same X. But here's the big deal. The X on the Ani document was, the top part of it was outside of the box. In other words, when her document was typed, the paper wasn't put in the carriage correctly, apparently, or something. You know, it wasn't weighted just right. And the X landed just outside the box. The top of the X did. But not only that, the top of the, a portion of the top of the X landed on the word above the box. And, of course, there was some, I don't know the technical word, ink splatter pattern from that. So what happened, Pastor Dan, is that box was digitally cut and pasted to the Obama document, and they took the X, they took the box that it was in, they took the word that the X was embedded in and the ink spot, if you will, and moved the whole thing over onto the Obama document, I think two times, maybe three times. Mike can straighten me out on that. But the deal is, I mean, that's just right. Absolutely impossible that two documents would have the exact same anomaly. So that's the short of it, but there's much more detail.
Okay, I looked at your, and I love that 3 minute thing, and you know, people's attention, I hate to say it, you know, people's attention spans aren't the world's greatest, but you did excellent on that 3 minute thing, and I saw just a while ago what you were talking about moving that out. Lieutenant Zullo, that looks just simply like Photoshop. Did they use Photoshop? I mean, that puts layers on. I watched my son do it as he makes pictures. You know, for this radio program, he combines several different pictures and makes a different picture. Is this simply what they use?
It apparently, to us, it does look like they used a professional version of Photoshop. They probably used some other technical enhancements, but it's pretty evident to us what it is. In addition to what Carl described, if you looked at the two date stamps that are in the lower left and right hand corners, those date stamps, you know, you have to keep this into perspective. Keep it out into your foremost thinking that this document did not exist in 1961. What they are trying to do is give the impression that it did. So in order to do that, it has to look like every other birth certificate in Hawaii, and it has to have certain date stamps that every birth certificate in that time period, that month from that hospital would have. So in order to do that, they had to acquire birth certificates. There's more than one. We have one of the source documents. We don't have them all. They had to acquire a birth certificate. They had to take that birth certificate, scan it into a computer, because this is digitally created.
Mm-hmm.
So by scanning it into the computer, they were then able to pick up the information as Carl described, but they were also able to pick up those two date stamps in the left and right corner. Where they made their mistake, it was the date stamps that actually gave it away. They picked up the date stamps, we now believe, together and moved them over. And when they put those date stamps in, they had to change the center day from 24 to 8 to represent the time Obama's certificate would have been accepted at the state registrar's office in Hawaii. But when they placed them on there, all they did was they kind of moved them a little left and a little right, but they never changed the angles, basically the angles of trajectory. One is pointing up at a 3-degree angle, I believe. The other one is pointing down at a 3.5-degree angle on the other side. When you match those date stamps up to the source document, they match exactly as far as the angle is concerned. Why that's important? These date stamps are stamped by hand with an old-time date stamper. You would have had to have taken one birth certificate, if we're going to believe now that they were made at the same time, that this was an authentic document, you would have had to have measured those precisely and then moved those measurements over to the second certificate that would have been created 16 days later. And by hand, you would have had to precisely measure that and precisely stamped it. And you would have to have repeated that for the other side. We know that that didn't happen. As a matter of fact, our document examiner, Reed Hayes from Hawaii, over 40 years of experience looking at documents, who is an instructor in his field, tells his students that if you ever see anything done by hand on one document and you find it on another and it matches exact, there's something else has gone on here, because it is impossible for the human hand to replicate anything exactly. So that was the thing that really started to unlock the document.
So let's be clear, some of the people that did this investigation, they weren't what you'd call anti-Obama at all, were they?
Reed Hayes voted for Obama twice. In finding Reed Hayes, our document examiner, we had tried over 200 document and forensics examiners in the United States. No one would help us. Nobody wanted to go near this. When I contacted Reed Hayes, Reed told me right off the bat that he was a supporter of the president. He would never do anything to hurt the president. He voted for Obama twice. And what I told Reed was, I'm not asking you to do anything to hurt the president. I'm asking you to help me and just clear this document so I could report back to the sheriff that there's nothing wrong here. Would you at least take a look at it? And being a man of integrity, what he did is he did look at it. And he called me back and he told me that he can't clear it. There's something wrong with it. Now, he didn't know what it was at the time. He just knew that this document was particularly odd. I asked him at that point if he would continue and help me find out what's wrong with it. And his response to me was along the lines of, that's what I do. That's my job. I'll take a look at it.
Right.
And Reed Hayes made some phenomenal discoveries in the document.
Well, so this is what the folks, I hope you're hearing this and understand that in the breakdown, the beginning of this, this was to actually clear Obama and let the country move on. The people that investigated wasn't out to prove that he was from another country or out to get Obama. Entirely, it sounds like the opposite. So this is a 11 years. You found a lot of other things. For instance, the Selective Service Registration Card. Why is that important?
Well, the Selective Service Card is mandated by law by anyone over the age of 18 years old in that time period. And I was born 1 year before the president. So anyone 18 years old or older, any male had to register for Selective Service. Selective Service is your name is on a list in case they institute a draft.
Right.
It's by law. It's mandated. And I believe off the top of my head, don't hold me to this, I believe it's a $250,000 fine if you don't. And I want to say 5 years in prison. I don't remember if that's correct, so don't hold me to that. But it's mandated. And it also has a stipulation that if you fail to do that, you cannot hold public office.
Right.
Well, my understanding how it unfolded was that President Obama, maybe before he was president, was on a talk show and Selective Service came up. That sparked the interest of some people. Some people in the military actually put in a FOIA request to see his Selective Service card. Well, when they got the FOIA request, they actually got the card. But the card, there was something peculiar with it. When you register, you would go down to the post office, you would register, and the post right. office would stamp it with a date stamp, a canceling stamp. And that date stamp by Department of Defense standards has to have a four-year digit representing the year, like 1980 or 1981. It has to have 1980. Obama's stamp peculiarly doesn't have the 19. It had an 80, but it looked odd, and the top of it appeared to have been cut off or severed. A reporter out here in Arizona got a hold of that. And she actually put a FOIA request in for about 17 other men who were deceased at the time who would have filed at the same time. She got 16 of those back, and one of them was in the same post office a few days apart from when Mr. Obama's form was purportedly canceled by the post office and received. Every one of those has a 1980. She brought that information to our attention. And as we were investigating it, it wasn't something we were going to investigate, but it was so peculiar, I couldn't resist.
Okay, let me break in. Let me break in right here because we've got to go to a station break. So, do you have a website, or should we refer to Carl's site? What's the story here, guys?
Use Carl's site, CarlGallops.com, right now. That's where everything is being archived.
Okay, that's great. That's a good place for it. Well, Carl, we'll send everybody over there to you, and folks, we'll be back. That's CarlGallops.com, by the way, folks. CarlGallops.com. Just Google Carl Gallops. You'll find all kinds of things. You'll find a way to his website. And also, later when this program goes to podcast, there will definitely be a link to this, and we're also going to put a link to that three-minute video over on our site so you can find that. But, folks, we'll be back with more in 3 minutes. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, this is generally the time that I talk about the Wichita Mission Church and put a plug in for it. But because I've got a really important conversation going on right now with Lieutenant Mike Zillow and Pastor Carl Gallops over Obama's birth certificate, we're going to get right back into this conversation, and we will. I'll let them go at 10 till tonight, and we'll talk about the Mission Church then. So, are you fellas still with me, Carl?
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here too.
You really got me interested. You know, I want to go get right back to it. We were talking about the draft card. Now, I had a draft card. I'm 61 years old. I remember I had to go to sign up for the draft. And actually, people ask me, they say, well, you know, who was your favorite president? And I always go, well, Richard Nixon. And they go, Nixon? Why do you say Nixon? Well, because he discontinued the draft just before I had to go to Kansas City and go to Vietnam. So I love him. Anyway, having said that, we were talking about the draft card.
Yeah, it was something that we weren't initially going to investigate, but it was brought to our attention, and quite frankly, it looked so peculiar, I really couldn't resist. I wanted to look into it. Right. We went through some painstaking maneuvers to actually get a 1980 Pica date stamp set, which we could not get a 1980 set. We had to get one that had the current 2008 Pica set, Pica plug date stamp insert in that particular set. But we were able, out of a post office, to acquire the proper stamp handle that would have been used in that time period. And to make a long story short, what I discovered was, and I did it in my own living room. Thank God I recorded it, but I did it in my own living room. And what they had done on his draft notice, his selective service card, they took a 2008 date plug and they severed it between the two zeros. And then they took the 08 and inverted it. They turned it upside down. And they put that into that stamp handle when they were replicating this document, a forged document again. And in doing so, they were not able to have a 1-9 because they couldn't locate a set that was going to work for them. So they sever it. And when they severed it, they didn't sever it squarely. It wasn't flush. It was a little off to the left. And I did that actually by accident in just severing this plug. And when I inserted it inverted into the handle and stamped it, it replicated what was on the Obama certificate almost exactly. And the giveaway on that was the 80, which was really an inverted 08, it didn't sit flush in the little box in the handle that the entire plug would sit in, and that would cause it to sit low and to the left. So his date stamp, absent of the 1-9, is not squared like every other document we examined. So we have come to the conclusion there that that document has been newly created. We don't believe that document was ever created in 1980. As a matter of fact, there have been news reports that he used to go around encouraging people not to sign up for selective service, not to sign up for the draft. So it's highly improbable, if those reports are accurate, that he himself would have went in 1980. But he had a problem. He wanted to be president. You have to have one. And we think there was some government help there, and that's how he acquired it.
Well, I guess, so here comes this question. If Obama's birth record, which I believe you, is indeed a forgery, which even my producer's kind of shocked that he wouldn't have found somebody maybe more professionally to get it done, you know, and his draft card isn't for real, what is the implications of this then?
My God, they're almost endless. I mean, you have someone here who's perpetrated the biggest mass fraud in American history. You have someone here, just the creation of a vital statistic record like that, and using that record in that fashion carries tens of years in prison. But they did things. They did things that were also telltale giveaways with him. When he released the certificate to the nation, if you would notice, he had never taken physical possession of that birth document. He only alluded to what was released on the World Wide Web. And that was done for reasons of plausible deniability. He had sent his own private attorney to go pick those up in an overnight trip to Hawaii to retrieve the documents. Well, what does that do? That makes it attorney-client privilege. It's its own personal property, and it doesn't fall within the requirements of some document coming into the White House. So he skirts a lot of issues that way. The fact that he never held it in his hand, never declared it to be his, physically presenting it anywhere, in numerous court challenges that ensued, nobody in the defense of that document ever walked in, which would have been exculpatory evidence, would have cleared this matter up. No one ever walked in with a hard copy 1961 birth certificate to Barack Hussein Obama II in 1961. No one ever walked in with that. No one walked in with any affidavits from anybody from the Department of Health in Hawaii. Nobody walked in with anything. As a matter of fact, they refused to bring it into a courtroom, and they did that for a reason. Because the minute you enter it into a courtroom, it becomes evidence. The minute it becomes evidence, it's challengeable. They never did it. They never used it. They never sent it to a Secretary of State for verification. They figured out Hawaii's vital statistic laws. They have a statute, and that statute is verification in lieu of a certificate. And that's what these Secretary of States, three of them, got. They got verifications in lieu of a certificate. And what that enables the Department of Health to do, it enables them to skirt the issue of ever validating the document itself. They only have to validate the information contained in the document is reflective of what's in their files. Well, here's the problem with that. Hawaii law also has statutes that provide the amending of certificates, or actually one that would enable you to walk in at 50, 60, 70 years old and with some kind of documentation that would have been deemed creditable, create a whole new birth certificate, a brand new one, even if it never existed. So they have too many ways of changing information. And you don't know the history behind the information that's in their files. Right. That's where the problem is.
Well, so was there, does it look like maybe, I don't want you to accuse somebody that's not, but doesn't it look like from reading everything, it looked like some people in Hawaii in government were complicit with this?
Well, you know, that's, look, I agree with you, but that's my personal opinion. You know, in my business, I have to back everything up with fact and corroboration. Somewhere along the line, I have a feeling it goes that way. If we're successful in getting federal authorities to really look into this issue, this is going to go bad for somebody very quickly. And it's either an inside or outside job. It's one of the two.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of questions arises. Number one, and most assuredly, so what, you know, Sheriff Joe's on his way out of office. The other guy that's coming in said he's going to close the investigation. So you have all this evidence, and which looks real apparent. What happens now? What do we need to do? What, you know, what are you going to do? Do we need to, you understand what I'm saying? What next?
Yeah. Well, what we are trying to do with this, and I am feverishly working now to finish this all up, is we are going to attempt to get it into the hands of Congress, whether it's a single congressman or a group of them. At this point, we don't care. We just want to get it into the hands of Congress. Once it goes that way, we have a little time to figure out the next step. But I could assure you, we're not going to let this die here. This needs to be investigated. Now, obviously, had the climate been different with our DOJ, you know, we had Eric Holder at the time this was going on, and then we got Loretta Lynch, and we know what that's all about. There was no place for the sheriff's office to bring this information. The first two press conferences we did, they were designed to get media attention and congressional interest. Neither of those things happened. The media blacked it out as if we never did it. There are people across the country who have no idea we did this 5 years ago. And as far as Congress is concerned, I mean, Carl was there with me. He set up an appointment once. I went to Washington four times, met with four congresspeople. Three of those four people pledged to help us and at the last minute turned their backs. The only person who was honest with me was Michelle Bachman, who told me that she knew and others knew there was a problem with this thing, but John Boehner would never let it come to the table. So we were stuck.
Right.
We were stuck.
Well, so there is the problem. You know, would with a new administration, you know, would Ryan, you know, want to bring this to table? And there's the thing. You know, are you going to try to get people to call Congress or something like that?
I mean, when that time is right, Pastor, we'll start putting that message out through Carl on what we need and what we're going to do. It's going to take a grassroots effort. We're pretty convinced of that. But, you know, as Carl puts it, and maybe I'll let him address it, I mean, we have a different player coming into the White House. Carl, why don't you touch on that, because you really lay that out well.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, and the point that I have made is that I want your audience to remember, Pastor Dan, that it was Donald Trump himself who badgered the President Obama to put that birth certificate on the White House in April of 2011. The sheriff's office got a hold of it in August 2011, but it was Donald Trump that badgered him to do that. And in the meantime, when Donald Trump started running for president, he was immediately labeled a birther. He was marginalized. He was lampooned and lamblasted. He was trashed and called a conspiracy theorist and a birther. And then in the very last, when he finally won the general election, of course, you know, he had to finally come out and get that off of his back so he could continue, because the media was pounding him with it. And he had to come out and say, well, I believe he was born in the United States. Let's end it. Hillary started it. I'm going to end it. So I want your audience to remember that during the time Sheriff Arpaio and Mike Zullo were investigating this, we were under the Obama regime. It was an Obama DOJ, an Obama FBI, a Congress terrified of Obama, courts that were packed with Obama judges, a media that is absolutely the fake news and complicit in this whole affair. What could they do? What could Sheriff Arpaio do? What could Mike Zullo do? John Boehner standing in the way. Where could they take it? Where could they go with it? In the meantime, isn't it amazing, maybe even the hand of God, I believe it is, that the man who started the whole thing is now getting ready to be president, and he has just been vindicated by Sheriff Arpaio and Mike Zullo. We will have a new DOJ, a new FBI, new judges sitting on the federal courts, hopefully a new attitude in Congress, and now, because of shows like yours and many others, millions and millions and millions of Americans know what is happening and about this press conference. It has been on TV, and the archives are there. Everybody can go to carlgallis.com and look at the archives. It's all right there, and we urge people to take it, send it to your congressman, stay on top of this, because when Donald Trump takes office, I have a feeling that the atmosphere will be ripe for something to be done. And I'm telling you, Pastor Dan, I cannot imagine that Donald Trump, Congress, FBI, and Department of Justice will completely ignore this monumental crime of the century, perhaps the crime of the ages against our nation.
Yeah, and this I have to say about that. I think they would that Trump and Congress would be really, really... I don't want to call them any bad names, like idiot or something, because if they didn't do it, they would kind of fall in that category. Because if you've seen that, Obama is planning on organizing a whole group of people to go against everything that Trump does. The same way with Hillary. She is planning on all kinds of interference. In both cases, prosecuting Hillary, doing this thing with the birth certificate, could get two mortal enemies off of their back. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, no, I agree. And before Mike comments on that, I just want to remind your audience of this. I'm going to ask a series of questions. The answer is the same for all of them, so they're rhetorical questions. But Pastor Dan, think of it like this. For those who have seen all of this evidence we've talked about tonight, and then when I add this, it's pretty overwhelming. Once you have seen that birth certificate is fabricated, it is forged, And now we have two forensics entities that have signed off on it and agreed with the investigation that it is a fabricated forgery. It is fake. It is not the representation of a real birth certificate. Now you have to ask, what governor in the United States has ever signed an affidavit or would sign an affidavit under penalty of law testifying that they can swear, they know for sure that Barack Obama was born in their state? What congressman would sign such an affidavit? What hospital administrator in the United States has ever signed such an affidavit? What hospital has ever recognized Barack Obama with a statue, a plaque on the wall, something that officially proclaims this is the birthplace of Barack Obama? Nobody claims him. And I mean, no official, no one, not with an affidavit swearing it. And now we see that the birth certificate is a fraud. So you're right. Donald Trump and his administration, to ignore this would be profoundly detrimental to them, I believe. Millions of Americans voted Donald Trump in precisely because he was the guy that got Obama to put that fraudulent certificate up there. So, Mike, you can weigh in now.
Yeah, amen. Mike, the implications of this is just astounding. You know, from a police officer's point of view, this document, like he said, like you said, if it indeed proved, I believe that you proved the fact. The point is I see a lot of people that could be on a list for jail, including, would they put an ex-president in jail?
I mean, well, I don't know how that plays out. I mean, there would be court challenges. There would be a lot of difficulty. I can't tell you that. How much time do we have left?
We got about 10 minutes if you want.
10 minutes? Okay. I am going to share something. I don't share this in every radio interview, but I'm going to share it with your viewers, and Carl knows this. This investigation, this particular focus on this document, has been surrounded in prayer for 5 years. Prayer warriors praying for me and this investigation. This thing was at a dead end at one point. Real close to the end of the sheriff's term, it was at a dead end. And there were two or three times that I called Carl and I told him, man, I'm banging my head against the wall. This is financially crippling to my family. I need to get out of this. I'm not making any progress. And every time I did that, there would be a prayer warrior who contacted my wife that we weren't in contact with and would send a word of encouragement to me that I just needed to keep going. So I kept going and I kept going and it looked bleak. I'm going to share with you what happened with this document, because what we found in this document was unlocked only about 8 weeks ago. And what happened was the same woman who contacted my wife before had called her, and she told her that she has been praying for this document, praying for me, and she believed the Lord spoke to her and told her that I needed to pray over that birth certificate, that the Lord would unlock that certificate, and I had a lot of satanic things to break as I was doing that. Within 48 hours of me doing that, those two date stamps materialized. Within 5 days of that, the other things we found in the document came to the surface. That document unlocked. And that's how this got to where we are today. So I fully believe that the Lord is not finished with this. He's not going to be mocked. He's not going to have the White House painted in rainbow colors and the debauchery that's been going on in there. I believe he has anointed Donald Trump to step into that White House, and I think that's evidenced by his vice presidential pick. And I think God's going to take care of this, and I think justice is going to be served. What that's going to look like, I don't know.
Yeah,
but I fully expect something comes of this issue.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Carl.
Pastor Dan, can I weigh in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to back everything he says, because we did have a lot of talks and a lot of prayer and a lot of prayer coverage and a lot of talk about the spiritual element of this for years. But I also want to emphasize that, as Mike was talking about giving up, that's not because they didn't have enough information for Congress to take up an investigation. They've already done two press conferences, and there was plenty of information that warranted a federal investigation. But what Mike was looking for was something that was concrete, that was so obvious that it could never be ignored, that it could be courtroom ready, you know, even without a congressional investigation, just good old-fashioned police work. Here's the evidence. Here's the key that unlocks it. And that's what Mike needed, and that's what he was praying for, and that's what people started calling him, his prayer warriors, and saying, hey, God revealed me that the key's getting ready to be unlocked. And boom, as Mike just said, there it was. And now there it is. 9 points of forensic evidence verified by two international forensic entities. This document is a fraud. It is a fake. And it's a good old-fashioned police work that everybody can see with their eyes. And when they see it, their jaw hits the ground and they say, oh my gosh, it couldn't be more obvious than this. The key has been unlocked.
Amen. So I'm going to go back to what Carosi said last week. I was talking to him. I said, well, do you think all the things about Obama will come surfacing, you know, because I always felt like it would after they were no longer afraid of him, after he's out of office. And he pointed out to me, he said, well, doesn't the Bible say that, you know, all lies, you know, eventually come through? And I went, okay. So, yeah, I do believe that the truth will come through. I also believe, and you know I believe that, Carl, we both talked about Trump on this program many times, encouraging people to vote for him. But the point is this. I do believe he was anointed by God. I do believe he placed him in office. He is claiming to be the law and order president. And I just tell you the truth, I don't see not doing something. That would be astounding to me that he wouldn't do something. Okay, got about a minute and a half.
Yeah, I'll just say very quickly, I agree with you, Pastor Dan. I don't have any inside information that he's going to do something, but I cannot believe that he would do nothing. That would be totally out of character for him, and it would cost him millions of followers and supporters.
Yeah, amen.
Well, if I could add one thing to that, this is not the time to stop praying for this, because the forces of hell are against this. So just because we've got the evidence, you know, we've been here before, like Carl said. We had evidence before. This doesn't negate anything we did before. This is stronger, and it's in a different venue. But you have to continue the vigil until he acts, because he's got to act. You got to bear in mind, he's got people around him that do not support this issue.
Amen. I totally agree. That's why I keep encouraging people on every program. We need to keep praying for Donald Trump. Just because he got elected, he's not even been sworn in yet, and we need to keep praying for him, because there's a huge spiritual battle going on in this country right now and world per se. Okay, final thoughts, and I'm going to have to let you guys go. It was great to have you both on.
Go ahead, Mike. Done.
Well, the final thought is keep praying. Because we have to get this to a place where the truth is exposed. Americans deserve the truth. And one thing I want to impress upon your people, forget about just putting him in jail. Remember something. This is the guy that fraudulently got into the White House that had the ability to send your children into harm's way under the guise of being commander-in-chief. I wouldn't want that on my head. And that's precisely what may have happened here.
Yeah, amen. Carl, give them your website, and thanks for being on with us, Lieutenant Rizzullo, and maybe we'll do it again when we've got some more good information. Carl, why don't you say goodbye and give them your website, please?
I will. Mike Zula, thanks for all you've done. Pastor Dan, thanks for having us. The website is carlgallops.com, carlgallops.com. You'll get to the landing page, and you're there. Just click on the yellow link, and it'll take you right to the repository page.
All right. May the Father bless both of you and keep both of you and keep you both safe in Yeshua's name. Amen. Bye-bye, guys. See you later.
Bye-bye now. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, folks, amen. We've got to keep praying for this. The evidence is there. And like he says, you know, we're all worried about the outcome of, well, what, is he going to go to jail? Is he not going to go to jail? Let's just see him do something with it. Just exposing this. You realize, like, the implications of this. You realize if he was illegally, if he's proven to be illegally in there as president, that would in legally that would actually invalidate what everything that he did since he's been in office, and the implications for that worldwide is just simply astounding. So there's going to be opposition just because of that. Good people that wouldn't want to see that happen. So you know, we got to pray it in. It needs to be prayed in. Pray. Check out Carl Gallup's site. And folks, really, we could use your support at the Wichita Mission Church. It's December. It's cold outside. We're going to be open December 25th. Everybody else is going to be cold. We need your support. Please pray about a donation tonight, because this ministry sells nothing, and we're going into the end of the year. So please help us get ahead before the end of the year. So pray about a sacrificial donation. I know that y'all don't have much money. You've been buying presents, and just the expenses of winter is astounding. But pray about a donation to this ministry, Messiah's Branch. You can donate online or mail a check or money order. Find all the information at prophecyhour.com. But remember, folks, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing for others. Pray for the priest of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.